Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello and welcome to Kits and Wagers. We're talking game week 15 in the Premier League. I'm Adam Zdroik, joined by Chris Owen. We both work at RotoWire. And first, before we get into the information, are you looking for NFTs that are both fun and of actual utility? Try So Rare, the largest NFT-based fantasy game. You can collect, trade, and compete with officially licensed digital cards of soccer players from over 180 clubs on So Rare. That's SORARE.com. Chris, we got the late night show again. These game weeks just keep going back to back to back. And, you know, you're doing the show from what it looks like your bedroom, maybe the guest room.
Any port in a storm, Adam, as they say. When's the last time I recorded? Probably Monday night. I said, hardest working fantasy soccer podcast in the industry. You know, we're doing the hard yards here. We're trying to earn it. We're back. Second podcast in a week. We just watched a few good games over the week. And I'm back. And I've kind of varied up where I've been podcasting from. We had a couple connectivity issues over the last two podcasts. So I'm doing everything in my power to make sure that we're getting this this audio and video out to our listeners and viewers. And so I'm thinking that here in the bedroom, this might be the best bet as I'm just incredibly close to the router. So we're looking to get the best performance possible. And then we are on the kits and wagers. Sometimes it's birds and wagers. Sometimes it's scarves and wagers. This week it's training tops and wagers. I pulled this one out of the archives here. As you can see, my other side last name, Owen, on this one. This is my high school training top here. It's a solid senior year, actually. So it's solid, like, 10 plus years old. So definitely a classic, you know, have sweated it out in this thing. Have lost a couple games, unfortunately, a lot of games in it, and won a couple too, though. So, had to pull this one out of the archives. I know a couple weeks ago you had brought yours out, and, you know, it kind of inspired me to make sure that, I live a little bit in the past too. So that's what I'm rocking this week, and happy to be discussing soccer with you again here on this beautiful Thursday night.
Yeah, I almost busted out my home kit. I wore the away kit a couple weeks ago. I considered the home kit, but decided against it. So yeah, first off, like, we decided to name this podcast Kits and Wagers, but we didn't think about when it actually got cold out. So like, if I'm gonna wear a kit through these podcasts, I'm just gonna be cold. So for tonight, I busted out. It's an old, or not old, but obviously, unfortunately, I just realized as we're doing this, you can't even see what it is. It's it's a Sporting Kansas City, just like a sweater from Adidas. But
look, if you're watching on YouTube, it looks like a black sweater.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. This podcast kind of being run by the seat of our pants kind of thing. We just had matches today, and we're just kind of doing all this stuff back to back to back here, and it's just a quick turnaround. But you know, we're here, we're talking. And Chris, so the good news is that last podcast you hit three of your last four, and you did not hit the recent one, but it was actually to actually get the exact results on this. So you mentioned Norwich to win, which is plus 275, but then you also said the plus 175 for draw no bet. Which one of those was your best bet?
Yeah, great question. I look back at our notes from that particular show. My best bet was the draw no bet, plus 175. And you know, if the viewers need to see it, you know, we'll go back in the Google Drive and we'll provide that. I've got receipts. I did mention the, what was it, plus 240 or so for the Norwich win. So that one obviously didn't hit. But the draw no bet, I didn't win. But more importantly, I didn't lose. So that being said, the solid, and then the third one that I did say was the Mo Salah to score and to win at plus odds. I believe it was like 105 or 110. So yeah, kind of a mixed bag, but that seems to be the case typically.
Yeah, I have no reason to talk about mine. And just in terms of yours, I don't know if you're watching, but so that was a pretty, I mean, it wasn't a good match, I'll say. So Newcastle got a red card in like the 10th minute, last man back tackle, Kieran Clark, I believe. So they're down 10 men the entire way. But from what I saw, it looked like it was 11v11. Like Norwich had no real advantage, even though they're up a man. Newcastle got, I think it was Callum Wilson, PK, and then they got, I don't know what minute, but it was late in the match, Timu Pukki got the equalizer late. So you were kind of lucky to not lose that despite being up a man for 80 minutes of the match, but hey, you didn't lose it. So that's a definite positive. And it was a tough midweek, but it's game week 15 now and we're moving on from it. So
going into that match, we both of us knew, and probably all of our listeners knew, that match was going to be absolutely disgusting. You know, we got Newcastle and Norwich, like not something that you're tuning into in prime time. So, but we just like the odds, and that's what we went with. And like I said, didn't win, but I didn't lose.
That's somewhat what we're going for. Somewhat, we're halfway there, right there. But yeah, so we're doing this Thursday night, and we're not going to get a ton of injury information, so it's kind of whatever. We're just looking at the odds. We're going to go with what we feel. We can't really guess who's going to be healthy, who's going to be starting. It's another short week, so there could be some more rotation. We saw some rotation. There wasn't a ton. Like Leeds started Tyler Roberts up front. Manchester United, they started Cristiano Ronaldo up front. Like he never starts, so that, you know, they're just changing stuff up. But in reality, there wasn't a ton of changes, and that we're just going to guess that there's just not, we can't guess what teams are going to change your starting 11s. So let's just get that out of the way. But the first match we want to talk about, West Ham home against Chelsea. So let me pull the odds up here if anyone is watching on YouTube. So just looking, running through it here. West Ham are home. They are plus 380, while Chelsea are minus 125 to win. And the over 2.5 goals is plus 108, under 2.5, minus 130. I guess I just got done talking about we're not going to, you know, discuss who's starting and whatnot, but it almost seems like Lukaku could be ready. He hasn't played a ton since returning from an ankle injury, but Chelsea have I wouldn't say maybe not a lot, but they have a few injuries. Reece James missed out last match. Jorginho didn't start. Conte's been out. They started Saul again, and he was not good. And overall, Chelsea were lucky to get 3 points at Watford last match. So injuries definitely will come into play in this one. You know, Lukaku's coming back. That's another iffy thing, but opening thoughts for just this match in general, and then how much, I guess we should probably wait. I guess everyone should probably wait before actually betting this match to see who Chelsea starts, right?
Yeah, totally agree. Much like some of these teams this week, we're playing a little hurt on a short schedule here, trying to figure out who's going to start. And as you mentioned, for our listeners, definitely double check back, because team news is going to come out tomorrow morning, and for some of these teams that are playing on Sunday, it might even come out Saturday as well. As far as this match goes, Chelsea in great form. You know, it seems like they can't do anything wrong. as of late, unbeaten in at least their last five. I don't think West Ham, they're on a bit of a skid. They got that big 3-2 win over Liverpool four games ago. And in the past three games, they've lost twice and then drew their most recent time. I believe that was against Brighton on that 1-1. So I still think Chelsea are definitely obviously favored here. But if we were going to get into it, I think West Ham draw no bet is plus 235. They're playing at home. It's I guess not North West London. I don't know my London very well, but
I think West Ham or Chelsea or North London.
Okay,
it's somewhere. But
either way, a nice East a rivalry game in East London. Okay, so yeah. A bit of a rivalry game here in West Ham playing at home. So there's something to consider there. The Chelsea odds don't really give you enough to be like, okay, like, I mean, plus 125 is right on that cusp. But if I was going to go somewhere here, I think the West Ham draw no bet at plus 235 is something to consider. The Chelsea lineup, as you mentioned, is kind of like up in flux, at least their wingbacks. We have no idea who they're going to play there. So West Ham have been, this seems like a match that where David Moyes' tactics could really come into play. They're always like really well organized in the back and they can kind of play quickly on the counterattack, especially with Antonio going forward. So I kind of like that West Ham to win this one playing at home.
Yeah, I originally was on that. So West Ham must have been Wednesday. So yesterday they were, from what I saw, they were plus 425 to win, and then that dropped down this morning to plus 380. So that's a good sign in terms of West Ham. I think that was a lot to do with just how Chelsea looked against Watford. But again, probably wait, because just Chelsea with, like, if they're not going to start Saul again in the midfield, that's pretty clear just because of how he's looked in his two starts. But they just didn't look like the same team with Saul and Ruben Loftus-Cheek in the midfield. Like, that's a significant downgrade from Jorginho and Conte. Even Kovacic is out too. So I think Jorginho will at least come back. So that's a boost. But I was on West Ham, and then I looked at last season's results. It was 1-0 and 3-0. So I'm kind of... So that kind of swayed me back a little bit. I did like the over 2.5 too, but just looking at that result and thinking, well, West Ham, like, they beat up on lower teams, but then they're not a given to, you know, score against the better defenses in the league. So yeah. Kind of tentative overall, I guess.
Yeah, still missing. I mean, Ogbonna's out for the season. Missing Cresswell is questionable for the match. So they're still playing Craig Dawson at center back, who's like, he's okay. So I could see that if Lukaku does start, he could be quite a handful for them. As a quick sidebar here, I know this is a betting podcast, but on the topic of Saul, who's the last player from Atletico to move out of Atletico and really perform well? Like, I'm just thinking back, like, Thomas Partey has been okay for Arsenal. Mm-hmm. Griezmann at Barcelona was kind of a disaster. Saul has been like unplayable almost. I mean, it's been like Fernando Torres. Like, how many players leave Atletico are really like play up to that level? So yeah, it's just a weird thing I was thinking about when you were saying Saul has been quite poor. But yeah, I'm just to summarize, I'm definitely still on West Ham draw no bet to win. I think they can get it done against Chelsea.
Yeah, thing with actually not the thing, but they do have Kurt Zouma in here. He is a former Chelsea defender. They got him at the beginning of the season, and like you said, when Zouma and Ogbonna were together, like they were on a pretty good run at least defensively. And then yeah, Craig Dawson's in there, so they've kind of fallen off a little bit, and maybe you know the Europa League's kind of wearing some guys down. So I wonder if they do rotate a little bit, like guys like Lanzini has been getting some minutes, and they got Vlasic. I don't know if he's gonna play, but another thing just to keep an eye on the starting 11s. Even if you're comparing like Azpilicueta at wingback compared to Reece James, like that's a completely different player. Reece James just he gets up the field so much. He's definitely a better attacking player than Azpilicueta, who's more defensive. And I think that kind of changes everything overall of how they look. And then you got the Chilwell injury there. So there's just a lot of differences in Chelsea's lineup than, you know, what we've seen from the past month of, you know, what they're cruising, like with their lineup when they won 4-0 against Juventus. Like they're a little bit different than what they've been looking like. So that's probably why the odds went changed on this one, just in terms of how they looked against Watford. But next match, yeah. Leeds against Brentford. Leeds are home, and I guess this is a Sunday match. So I was trying to look up, you know, the history between these teams because, you know, they were in the championship for a good amount of time together, but I didn't see any true advantages. But Leeds home, minus 110. Brentford are plus 300 to win. You can get over 2.5 goals at minus 110, under 2.5 goals at minus 110. So it's even. And the sports books, you know, are basically taking your money with those minus 110 odds there. You can't, yeah. That's just how it is. They're just taking the money off the top there. But I think my first lean here is Leeds. How do you feel about this match?
Yeah, I agree. Leeds have been a lot better. I mean, for a while there, they were so banged up where it was like we had no idea who was going to start. And it sounds like they might get a couple guys back here relatively soon, at least some important players. And as we mentioned in the first match, we're going to check back and see what happens with Patrick Bamford and Luke Ayling. But if those, any of those guys can return, I definitely feel even better about them. They've played well enough to get a few draws in their last like 5-6 matches, and they did play well enough against Crystal Palace on Tuesday to get a 1-0 win prior to that 0-0 draw against Brighton. So there, I actually like where Leeds are headed right now. And Brentford are kind of going the other way here. So I definitely, the minus 110 is, like you said, kind of a black hole, but I don't think Brentford have like been playing well enough and Leeds are kind of on the rise. They're going opposite direction. So I definitely lean Leeds here.
Yeah. So my midweek article here, I sped through it too fast. Cause I took Brentford +1, and then before the match, I was just looking at numbers, and I was like, this is not a good bet. And then they were completely dominated by Tottenham. So just looking at Brentford's results here, last three away from home, they got that 2-0 loss at Tottenham today. They were 3-3 at Newcastle, that just up-and-down match against them, which was Eddie Howe's first match. And then before that, they lost 3-1 against Burnley. And then even if you're just looking at home matches, so maybe I thought they were starting to turn things around. They beat Everton, but maybe that was just because Everton is not good. So if you look before that Everton match, they lost their previous three home matches. So Brentford just aren't playing well. I don't think Leeds are actually playing that well, but they've been better. They've gotten points from, four of their last five here. So that's a positive. And if you're getting some guys back, I think – while they may not start, Bamford and Ayling should be in the team at least on Sunday. Yeah, so it'll be a definite. What Leeds played Tuesday, so yeah, they'll get a few more days. Bamford went, I think I mentioned this on the last podcast. Bamford went 90 on Monday with the U23s, and Ayling went 45. So like Bamford has, you know, another four or so days of training, like. There's a chance that he's in the starting 11 again. So if that's the case, that's a definite upgrade for Leeds. And like minus 110 to win is pretty good. I would not – I just can't get a read on the over-unders for Leeds matches right now. So I'd probably stay away from that one though.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really tough for – I mean, definitely Bamford playing 90 on Monday and then training – good for him. Sounds like he's getting healthy, but I think it's going to be tough for him to start regardless. He's been out for, what is that, like couple 10 months, matches yeah. almost. So, yeah, he's been out since mid-September. So I think to see him in the starting 11 is going to be pretty tough for him to make that turnaround, having not shown up as a substitute quite yet. So I think we see him in the match day squad. I just think it probably comes as a substitute later in the match. Apart from Patrick Bamford, I think Rafinha – you know, he's obviously their best player. And if we're thinking about Leeds winning, most of their goals this season have come from Rafinha, and he is plus 140 anytime goal scoring odds. So if you're into that, I have a weird fixation with anytime goal scoring odds. I like to try to predict who's going to put it in the back of the net. And I think, you know, the player with the best odds is Rafinha at plus 140.
So if this was like a match that was last season, like I'd be like, yeah, go over 4.5, 5.5 goals. But just in terms of Leeds have been playing, like I think Bielsa's kind of changed a few tactics here and there just because of the different players in his team. It seems like they're just playing a little more defensive. Like they're still trying to keep the ball a lot, move around and everything, but they're just not, their matches just aren't the same as they were last season. And that, I think that's the main reason why, you know, we're getting these lower scoring games than what we saw last season. I mean, earlier this season, I know you were on a couple Leeds overs, but like there's been one goal in their last two matches. Like they lost 2-1 at Tottenham. Leicester even was 1-1. Like they aren't even scoring more than one goal very often. And then I don't even think they've allowed more than two goals, maybe outside of like a Liverpool match here. Like they haven't allowed more than two goals this season. Well, I guess in the opener, they did lose to Manchester United 5-1. But otherwise, like they've been keeping teams pretty much in check, even though they've had these injuries. So I guess I'd lean the under, but it just doesn't feel right. just because we have this Leeds history that's kind of still in our head. So, but I mean, this looks like another 1-0, 2-0 match for Leeds in reality from what I'm looking at here, but it just doesn't feel right.
I tend to agree with you too. I think I'd take the under on this as well.
All right. So the next match here, Aston Villa home against Leicester. Aston Villa +140, Leicester +205. And over 2.5 goals, -116, under -104. Again, bookmakers taking some money off the top here, but this is another pretty, I mean, this is more even, I guess, in terms of the odds on the other one we were just talking about, but this is a pretty even match here. Steven Gerrard got his first loss, but I think the thing with that was they played Manchester City pretty well. Like, they weren't, they gave up, I think those two goals were in the first half, but
yeah.
I mean, overall, I think Manchester City's expected goal total was just above one, which is good. Like, they're probably usually above two, so.
Yeah, that Bernardo Silva goal was, like, such a great goal. Just the one-time volley on a little chipped cross there, but yeah. Yeah, that was a good game. I mean, Villa played pretty well. I don't think anyone expected them to win that necessarily. This is maybe the most fun game to watch on the slate, in my opinion.
Yeah, if you look at those, if anyone saw the highlights, those two Manchester City goals. So one of them was Ruben Dias from, I don't know, 25 yards out with,
yeah,
was it his left foot? I don't know, but yeah. So Ruben Dias, a center back, scored, and then, you know, Bernardo Silva had that incredible volley. So those are the two goals that gave it to Manchester City. And the question is, how efficient are Leicester City, Jamie Vardy, James Maddison, how efficient are they going to be if they're not getting a ton of opportunities, as, you know, they have been the last couple matches? I think that's the thing with these Steven Gerrard teams. They're not giving up, you know, these quality looks. They held those last two matches before that, you know, they held Brighton scoreless, gave up one late one to Crystal Palace. But overall, like, they don't have possession, but they're sitting back enough and not, they're just not allowing, you know, guys to be wide open in the box. And that seems like the route that Steven Gerrard wants to take. He doesn't want to give up the stupid goals is what I'm seeing here from these last three matches. Like, they don't want to allow what happened to Arsenal today. Like, Arsenal just let Ronaldo open, wide open in the box on one of those goals. And just like those simple crosses to guys who are wide open in the box. It seems like Aston Villa aren't allowing those. And I think that's an edge in this one. And I do like Aston Villa at home here, +140.
Yeah, and his previous stint at Rangers, like, they were the best defensive side in the Scottish Premier League, where, like, they let up, like, 9 goals in, like, 38 matches. So I think he's kind of bringing that style a little bit over to Aston Villa, only conceding 2 goals in his first 3 games in charge. They've been better. That said, both these teams rank in the bottom half in goals allowed here, kind of looking back to the over at minus 120 at 2.5. In my opinion, you know, I would take the over at minus 120 on 2.5. 3.5 is a bit much at 215. But just given the fact that Leicester have conceded, I think they've conceded 25 goals in 14 games. Astonville, a little bit better recently, 23 goals in 14 games. So both sides, they've been involved in some games that have had quite a few goals. So I think I would take the over here based on the fact that, like, both teams not particularly good defensively over the span of these 14 games that have been played.
Yeah, I think I'm complete opposite of you on this match here. I actually like the under. It's kind of going against just what's actually happened with Leicester. Like, they're allowing these goals. Like, they don't have Tielemans in their midfield, and that's kind of, you know, it's not really working out between the center backs and the defensive midfielders right now. They've allowed 4 in their last 2. I just think the way that Villa play is going to be, it's just different than what Watford and Southampton have presented. I think it's going to change things up. I think it's just going to make it a little harder for Leicester to get those good looks and get those goals. And, you know, this, like, yours taking the over, I think, does make more sense. Like, this could be another 2-2 match, but I'm just basing this off of the last 3 games that Villa have played, how they've looked under Gerrard. I'm just thinking they just kind of want to keep things, you know, a little slower, a little, you know, just a little closer, tight to the chest kind of thing. And they don't want to give up too many goals. And that's kind of what I'm looking at there for the under. And if anything, Aston Villa to win.
Yeah, fair. So Adam and I are different here on Aston Villa and the Leicester City match in terms of the over under here. So, but yeah, I mean, is it too early to get into my best bet considering this is, I'm a little bit on a different best bet, but, I think we kind of differ on this match a little bit. I like Leicester and to win it, at least in my mind. They're at +205, so I would take the over and over at over 2.5 goals at -120, and then Leicester to win this one. This will be 3 straight weeks of trying to get hit +200 odds here. I think I did Villa a couple weeks ago. I did Norwich as a recommendation last match, and I'd like Leicester City at +205 to win this one, and then that 2.5 goals over.
I mean, taking Leicester probably makes more sense, but just these home teams that have been winning is just kind of in the back of my mind. So I was looking at recent results here. So this past game week 14, the only teams to win away from home were Chelsea, Manchester City, and Liverpool. So, you know, top 3 teams in the league. Before that, the only team to win away from home, conveniently, was Aston Villa. And before that, the only team to do so was Chelsea. So I'm just looking at all these recent results, and it's like, maybe you'll have something that sticks out, like a random, you know, Villa they won at Crystal Palace. But otherwise, you know, it's the top 3 teams winning away from home, and for the rest, it's kind of, well, draw or lose is kind of what it seems like. These teams, you know, they got full fans in the stadium this season, and we haven't talked about that since the start of the year, but I think it's starting to show up a little bit here. And now with you getting into holiday season, tired legs, I wonder if, you know, starting to just focus on home teams might be the way to go. Maybe it won't be, but just something to consider here as we move ahead in the next couple of weeks.
That's a pretty big sample size. I mean, was that 30 games, five away teams have won in those 30 games. So, I mean, definitely something to consider when I say +205 odds for Leicester City. But yeah, I'm still going to stick with them. Just think they can get it done over Aston Villa. But yeah, that's an important stat to think about if you're looking into taking any other away teams.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, so best bet time. And I'm not going to overthink this. You know, I had I had to stretch it out or whatever I did before the last one. And obviously that did not work. So I'm just going to take it real simple. I could have gone a lot of different ways here, but I'm just going Liverpool -1.5 over Wolverhampton. Speaking of, you know, teams to win away, Liverpool just won 4-1 at Everton. Liverpool have won their last 4 matches by at least 2 goals. That includes 2-0 against Porto. And I know you're not going to disagree with me on this one. So
what's that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
No, but, you're right. Yeah.
So I actually also like Liverpool to win in a shutout, but I decided just before the show just to not get screwed at a possible what happened in the Everton game, not get screwed on a random goal from Raul Jimenez or something like that, or Adama Traore off a counter. I'm just going to take, you know, Liverpool get 2, 3, 4 goals, win by 2, and we'll call it a day. We're going to end this losing streak. So there's zero chance this bet's going to lose.
Zero chance. I love that. Okay. Noteworthy in this too is the Liverpool over 3.5 goals is +170. I think a couple games ago there was a bet somewhere along the lines of like Liverpool under 3.5 or under 2.5.
That never happened. That did not happen.
there was one. I'm not going to name who put this bet forth, but I think it was Liverpool under 2.5 games. And I believe now in their last 9 Premier League games, they have hit over the goal totals in each game has been over 3.5 goals, which is pretty insane. But this one's over 3.5 goals is +170. So something to consider if you're into that. I won't disagree with that. But I think, I mean, as we've seen, it's a 3 horse race up top. And I think all 3 of those teams, if they were in this position, would beat Wolves. And 1.5 can't go
the
wrong
downside.
There.
The downside here is that it's a short week and, you know, when is this match? Saturday or Sunday. We're looking at lineups and all of a sudden, oh, Minamino's in, Oxlade-Chamberlain's in, Origi's in. And it's like, okay, well, -1.5, let's go. So
I'm taking Wolves if Divock Origi is in the starting 11.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a situation here. Like, I'm not going to take this bet right now. Like if we see a different starting 11, like I probably won't take the bet, but if it's, you know, the usual Liverpool lineup, what they've been putting out there and dominating these games, like, yeah, the odds probably won't change up until then. So, it's about, what did I say? +115, +120. So decent rate. Keep that in mind and hope they don't have a huge, squad rotation there.
Yeah. Oh, good call. For my best bet, I'm going to go Arsenal. They're playing Everton. I just watched 90 minutes of Everton Football Club and was relatively unimpressed. Pretty tough given the opposition, but let's look back a little bit further. They're winless in their last 6 matches. The last time they were not beaten was against Manchester United, where they lost 1-1. That was back on October 2nd, so we're now into December. Everton playing quite poorly in funny, I don't know if anyone caught the post-match interview of Rafa Benitez, but the journalist went kind of hard, and he's like, you know, what's going wrong here? Is it on you? Is it on the players? And like Rafa was just having none of it. He was like, no, we have good players here. Everything's on me. You know, basically, like we're gonna get it figured out. I just totally disagree. I think Arsenal here, they're +115 odds. They are actually, it's just another road team that I'm picking.
Yeah, it is.
But Arsenal just are way better. Everton are just so poor lately. So I just don't think that there's any, I'm not going to go zero odds, but maybe like 30% odds Arsenal pull this one, or Everton pull this one out. I just think +115 to a team that's got better quality, playing better. I just like that there. And so, yeah, that'll take us into Monday. So we kind of cross off all of our T's here. But yeah, Arsenal +115 in my best bet. I will note, three 1-1 in my last 5 weeks are my best bets here. So if you feel like that gives you any sort of confidence, take Arsenal +115.
No, I do like it. I have it in my article that will be posted at some point in the next I don't know, 24 hours. So, and I mean, you didn't read it beforehand. So we're both on the Arsenal to win. And just speaking of, you know, these away teams on the road kind of thing. So Arsenal's last two, Manchester United today, and then the Liverpool match. It's kind of hard to compare those games with Everton. So I don't think there's, you know, there's much to put into those two losses for Arsenal. But if you're looking before that, Arsenal didn't allow a goal in their previous three away matches, and they won two of those, 2-0 at Leicester and then 1-0 at Brighton or at Burnley. So those numbers definitely look good for you overall. Everton, I don't know. Maybe they're going to turn around at some point, but until they turn around, like, you might as well keep betting against them because they just don't look very good. And like Rafa Benitez, his genius idea last match. So they're starting Richarlison as the front four, their central striker. And since that wasn't working because he was basically doing nothing, they're like, okay, let's put Rondon back there, and then we'll have Richarlison back in his usual role where he plays with Calvert-Lewin. It's like, well, Rondon's not Calvert-Lewin, so that's probably not going to work. And it didn't work. And overall, it's just not working. Like, even with the Koure and Allen, I mean, I guess they've been dealing with injuries, so maybe they're not 100%. I don't know. They started the season so well, so it's kind of weird that they're just, you know, they've fallen off a cliff here. But maybe once they get DCL back, they'll turn things around. But until then, like, there's no reason to bet on them.
Yeah, I think they definitely see a way better run of form once they get DCL back because they've had some trouble scoring goals. So, yeah, let's moral of this story is stay away from Everton until they start to play better. One thing that I missed quickly that we've gone over pretty much the last like 10 weeks is Mo Salah. The man's in insane form, 13 goals, 8 matches through 14 Premier League games. His goal scoring odds here are -110, so decent odds there to return a little bit of money. But if you want a little bit better odds, Liverpool are playing well enough to take this. Salah to score and Liverpool to win is +110. So, as I mentioned, we've been going through that in pretty much every single podcast just because the guy is just playing out of his mind. So, just kind of what's been an easy layup if you've been taking those last few weeks.
Yeah, so he had that small dry run a little bit, but he scored in 3 of his last 4. And, yeah, I mean, like if you would have started the season with this bet –
you would be
let me put this together here. So it's been 19 matches and he scored in all but 5 of them. That includes Champions League. So he scored a goal in 14 of 15 matches, and most of those you're getting plus odds on them. So
if you had taken to score and to win too, you know, you're getting even better odds there too. So yeah. I mean, looking back in the crystal ball, kind of wish I would have done that every game. But, yeah, just a good one to consider going into the week in what should be a winnable match for them.
Yeah. All right. Well, Chris has got some fajitas going. It's dinner time. The rice is on. And we don't want to have that dry up on the stove. So that's all we got for game week 15 here. But, unless you have no more bets here, you take the over-under of – how many rice things of rice are burnt on the bottom of the pan? Or
no, we're good. I actually I set the timer on the phone here before we hopped on. Doing whole grain rice, not the jasmine. You know, going a little healthier than the jasmine rice right now. So that takes 45 minutes on a simmer. So, you know, I put that on right before we started cooking up the heat here on the podcast. But yeah, so we should be good. I think the rice is going to be al dente.
Okay, so last week I said smoking birds in wagers, but it might be just like cooking in wagers. I don't know. We have like a 2-minute portion of like cooking, how to cook, you know, some recommendations here. So I guess we're gonna have to continue for our fans. I don't know.
Yeah, this week is steaming rice and wagers.
Steaming rice and wagers. All right, that's it for game week 15. I am Adam Zdroik. He is Chris Owen. I'm at Roto Zdroik. You can find him at CHROwen8. That's on Twitter. Again, rotowire.com to find all of your betting information or DFS or any kind of information. Thanks for listening. Make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube or in podcast form. Again, thanks to So Rare. And that is it for the show. I forgot what my best bet was. Okay, here we go. Liverpool -1.5, +120. Chris is Arsenal to win, +115. Got a couple of nice best bets at plus odds. So let's have a good weekend then, huh?
Thanks, Adam.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.